2 Samuel chapter 21. Then there was a famine in the days of David for 3 years. David asked the Lord about this, and the Lord replied, "It's for Saul, and for the blood which he shed when he killed the Gibeonites." If you remember, Joshua had made a promise to the Gibeonites that they could live in Israel and would not be killed. But Saul was trying to pretend he was so zealous for God and went round and killed these people, basically just because they weren't Israelites. So the king called the Gibeonites and said to them, the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. The children of Israel had promised them not to kill them, but Saul had tried to kill them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. In other words, he wanted to show, "Oh, I'm such a patriot. I can't stand anyone who's not an Israelite." And yet he ignored God's value of the human person. And he, of course, as an Israelite, should have honored the covenant that they'd made with the Gibeonites. So David said to the Gibeonites, "What shall I do for you? And how can I make atonement so that you may bless us the inheritance of the Lord?" The Gibeonites said to him, "We don't want any silver or gold, not from you, nor from Saul, nor his family. And don't kill anybody in Israel." And David said, "Whatever you say, I will do." Well, it's always very foolish to say, "I'll do whatever you say." Very foolish. Because, as we're going to see, it puts David in a very difficult situation. They replied to the king, "The man that destroyed us," this is Saul, "and that devised evil against us so that we should be destroyed from remaining within Israel, let 7 men of his sons be given to us, and we will hang them up unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul." And the king said, "I will give them." Well, he's promised to give 7 of the children of Saul, the descendants of Saul, to these Gibeonites to kill, and they're going to sort of make it very shameful for the family of Saul, because they're going to go to Saul's hometown of Gibeah and hang up the dead bodies of 7 of his sons. Well, often when you read in the Bible, you think, well, what should David have done? You know, David had promised Saul and Jonathan that he would not harm their children. So now he's gone and said, to these Gibeonites, "I'll do whatever you ask me." Well, he's made promises to Saul already that he would not destroy his descendants. In fact, David has gone running around trying to think how he could show grace to the house of Saul. So you see where quick speaking and making quick promises get you. This is why we've got to be wise, and part of being wise is not acting and speaking rashly, quickly. This is what happened with David at this point. He's made promises to Saul, which are fair enough, that he would not destroy Saul's descendants. Indeed, he wanted to show love to his enemies. Now there's a famine, and it's because of what Saul did to these Gibeonites, and David says to them, he promises to them, "I will do whatever you say." And they say, "We want you to kill 7 of the sons of Saul." Well, he's compromised, and I think really he should say, look, I spoke too quickly, guys. I'm very sorry. I can do that. But he doesn't. His pride gets in the way. And as I say, we often have to think, well, what should somebody have done at this point as you read the Bible? And what he should have done, in my view, was to say to them, "I'm terribly sorry. I spoke too quickly when I said I'd do literally whatever you want. I also have a covenant with the house of Saul to not kill them. So I can do this." Well, what happened? The king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan. Well, yes, but he also did promise Saul he would not destroy his family. But the king took the 2 sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, whom she bore unto Saul, Armoni and Mephibosheth, and the 5 sons of Michal, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up for Adriel, the son of Barzillai. Well, Michal was David's ex-wife. Because she'd mocked him when he was dancing before the Lord, God had said she was not to have any children of her own, but she had raised 5 children for Adriel, for, it seems, the guy that she married after David. And she'd raised his five children, and David goes and takes them and kills them and likes to sort of deduce that, well, because effectively she was their mother, therefore they were, as it were, the sons of Saul. Well, it sounds to me like he's just hitting back at his ex, at his former wife. I think it's really very, very poor what he does here. Because you don't just kill people. These are all somebody's sons. So he gave these seven into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the hill before the Lord. And all seven were killed together in the days of harvest, in the beginning of the barley harvest. Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, took sackcloth and spread it for her upon the rock from the beginning of harvest until water dropped upon them out of heaven, and didn't suffer the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the animals of the field by night. And it was told David what Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, the concubine of Saul, had done. So she's heartbroken because of her children who've been slain, all because of politics. And you must never do this. You must never cause suffering and pain to other people's families just because you can't be more humble and admit that you've taken a wrong turn in what you've said, because that's what David did. And all because of that pride, these men were killed. David went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan his son from the men of Jabesh-Gilead who'd stolen them from Beth-shan, where the Philistines had hanged them when the Philistines killed Saul in Gilboa. He brought up from there the bones of Saul and Jonathan, and they gathered the bones of those who were hanged, and the bones of Saul and Jonathan his son they buried in the country of Benjamin in Zelah, in the sepulchre of Kish's father. And they performed all that the king commanded, and after that God was entreated for the land. So David is showing sort of publicly, by making a bit of effort to organise the funeral and to build a sort of tomb for the family, he's sort of trying to show, you know, that he's sort of doing his bit. But I mean, it was him who caused these people to be killed, all because he could not humble himself and say, I spoke too quickly. The Philistines had war again with Israel, and David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines, and David became weak. Ishbi-benob, who was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass, was girded with a new sword and was about to kill David, but Abishai succoured him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David said to him, "You shall not go out with us to battle any more, that you don't quench the light of Israel." You wonder why David almost loses a battle or a fight. You know, he's a great warrior, he's won all his battles, killed Goliath, and yet he now nearly gets killed, and he's saved by grace in this sort of hand-to-hand battle that he had with this guy, when before he killed Goliath, but now he's nearly killed by Ishbi-benob, who was one of the sons of the giant, perhaps one of the sons of Goliath. And I think that this was God punishing him because of what he did to those seven sons of Saul. I really think God was not well pleased with what he did. And so he was taught that, look, I'm saving you by grace, David. What you did was wrong. This is what death feels like. It's what you did to those people because you can't admit that you're wrong. And all this way through you see this. People who can't admit they're wrong, breaking up people's families, destroying people. And yet, all the same, David will be saved in the end, which is God's marvellous grace. And it happened after this that there was again a battle with the Philistines. Then Sibbechai slew Saph, who was also of the sons of the giant. And there was again a battle with the Philistines, and Elhanan, a man from Bethlehem, that's where David was from, killed the brother of Goliath the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. And there was again a battle in Gath, and there was a man of great stature who had six fingers on every hand and six toes on every foot, 24 in number. He also was born to the giant. When he defied Israel, Jonathan son of Shimea, the brother of David, slew him. These four were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and his servants. Well, There were four sons of Goliath then who were all killed by David's men. And so I suggest that when David went to fight Goliath and he took five smooth stones and threw the first one and it hit Goliath, I think that he was spiritually ambitious. He didn't take five because he thought, well, I might miss the first time, miss the second time, miss the third time. I think he intended to kill Goliath and his four sons. But in the wisdom of God, that didn't happen. God left those other four in order to show that actually the men of David were to do the same work. They were to rise up and do this work as David had done. And this all looks forward to how Jesus died on the cross. Sure, he killed sin, Goliath, but we are to rise up and do our bit, just as these other men were inspired by David.